right. Thank you for being here. We're going to look at Genesis this morning. I think something that will help us as we live our lives on a daily basis. Life comes, you know this if you have any amount of age, life comes with its struggles that we have to deal with, just the natural course of life. What the problem is when we choose to carry extra baggage in our life. I saw a story, and I actually saw the video. In 2019, someone had spotted several years earlier in Colorado a bull elk. And apparently the elk, when it was smaller and its horns weren't quite as big, was around an old tire and somehow got the tire caught up on its horns and stuck over the horns on its head. And as the horns grew, it couldn't get rid of it. And so they tried to track this poor elk down, and it took them 3 years. Finally, after 3 years, they were able to find it in the forest, and they tranquilized it. And they had to cut the antlers and take the tire off. When they found the tire, the tire had a bunch of extra debris, which made it especially heavy. Can you imagine that elk running around for 3 years with that heavy tire around its neck? Why would somebody, now that's an elk, he didn't know any better. Why would we carry around extra weight and baggage in our life? That's hurtful. It's not helpful at all. It's like choosing to run a marathon. And I'm sure you could do this and throw a backpack, you know, bring a waffle iron, you know, whatever you want to do, so along the way you can stop and make breakfast. You could probably do that, but I'm just going to say it's a really bad idea to carry around extra weight. In fact, they wear clothes that are so thin, it's not good. I want to see that today about some people here in our story that carried some extra weight. You know the story of Joseph, and we're a little bit later getting started today, so I won't belabor it, but, you know, Joseph's brothers had ill will towards him because of the way the family was structured. You know, Jacob wanted one wife. He got stuck with another wife. Then he got this wife, and they weren't having enough kids, so they each gave him another wife so they could have a baby war. And Joseph was the first son of his favored wife. And so Joseph was the favored son. And not only that, God gave him dreams of his leadership position that would come later on in his life, and his brothers got the memo that he would rule over them, and they didn't like that. And so through the course of that, what happened is they got angry, and they got upset with him. And they found an opportunity one day when the dad sent him to check on his brothers, and they decided that they would kill him. But one of the brothers tried to save his life and said, let's not do that right now. They threw him in a pit, and when that brother was away, they decided if we kill him, we're not going to make any profit. Let's sell him as a slave. And so they did. Joseph ends up in Potiphar's house, and then he ends up, after a lie, he ends up in prison. And God worked all of that out to bring him in front of Pharaoh. Pharaoh has a dream, and Joseph is literally pulled out of prison to interpret the dream. And Joseph gives the interpretation there's going to be 7 years of famine, followed by 7 years of plenty, and then he gives a plan. He says, Pharaoh, what you should do is during the 7 years of plenty, you should save up so that during the 7 years of drought, you're able to make it through. And so here's Joseph, a servant who's been in prison. He says, fine, you're second in charge in Egypt, handle it. And so he's in charge. What happens is years later, when the drought does come, Joseph's family's struggling, and they say, hey, they have extra food in Egypt. Let's go buy food. And they show up. And there's Joseph. They don't recognize him. And so Joseph, he was going to be helpful to them, but he decides to check them out to see if they had changed. And I won't belabor the point, but the point is he sent them back, and they had to bring his younger brother, Benjamin, who was the second child of the beloved wife and was now the favored son of Jacob. And by the way, that's a really bad idea as a parent to have a favorite child, okay? And so he says, bring Benjamin back. And They know that the dad's very, 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 very sensitive about that. He already lost Joseph and his wife. He didn't want to lose Benjamin. So they let Benjamin come back, and all is good. And so they get the corn, and they get the, and they're going back home, and they all have a sack of food. And Joseph hides his cup in one of the bags, Benjamin's bag. So as they are all heading back home, they went through this ordeal, everything's good, we got the food, we're going home, everybody's safe and sound. Here comes Joseph's army, and they say, one of you stole the cup. And they're like, they know that they didn't do that. They're like, look, whoever stole the cup, take him back, he's your servant. And they check the bags, and it's in Benjamin's bag, and they're all heartbroken because they knew what that would do to their dad. But that's not the story, part of the story I want to look at. There's something else after all of this happens that pops up. Something that they've been carrying for years. Look at verse 16, please, of Genesis chapter 44. And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord, speaking to Joseph? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? Read that next sentence. God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are thy Lord's servants, both we and he also whom the cup is found. That little phrase, God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. What's he talking about? He is talking about what they did to Joseph years later, earlier. That had nothing to do with the story. And they're like, we've been found out. Our iniquity that we've been holding on to, this secret we've been holding on to, it's popped out. By the way, that's not the first time it happened. Look at verse 42. Look at chapter 42, please. Let's flip back a couple chapters. 42 and verse 12. The first time they were dealing with this situation with Joseph, unbeknownst to them, and he thinks they're spies and all this stuff. Look what they said. And they said one to another, this has nothing to do with the story, but they throw it in there. We are verily guilty concerning our brother, speaking of Joseph, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. That had nothing to do with what was going on. And yet when this bad thing happened, they immediately went back to what they did to Joseph. That was still on their mind. It may have been out of sight, but it was not out of their mind. They see this scenario they're going through as somehow attached to Joseph. And that's even before they knew they were dealing with Joseph. And it still bothered them. Look at Genesis chapter 50 and verse 15. This is after everything works out. And now they're all together. Joseph takes care of them in Egypt. And now the father dies. And here it comes. It pops back up again. Verse 15. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peadventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. They're still carrying that baggage. They thought they got away with it. But the first time something bad happened, it's like, remember when Joseph, and he sat there and we saw how anguished he was. And then now when Benjamin's going to get in trouble, it's like our iniquity's been found out. And now when the father's dead, it's like Joseph's going to have his opportunity to get back at us. They're carrying that baggage around all of those years. People carry baggage all the time. It could maybe be a failure in your life that you just cannot get over. Sometimes our emotions because of things that have happened. Some of us carry anger, worry, fear, and bitterness. And when you carry that extra baggage that you don't need to carry, it hurts us in so many different areas. You don't have peace. No matter what's going on in your life, the first time something bad happens, you refer back to that baggage that you're carrying. And after all, I just deserve this. This is just who I am. Your relationship with other people. Listen, if you don't deal with some of the baggage, some of the relationship issues you have is because you are carrying baggage and you're bringing it into all of your relationships. Well, I'm just mad at that person. That's not how bitterness works. If you can't get right with one person, if you're carrying ill will towards somebody else, that is going to poison you. That baggage is going to get to you, and you are going to bring that into all of your other relationships. It's going to affect your closeness to God. How can you be close to God when you're carrying this? And it just helps you. It just hinders your ability to handle the things of life. Understand, when you carry baggage, you get weaker, and it gets heavier, and it makes everything in life that much more difficult. But the good news is you don't need to carry the baggage. Let me show you two things you need to understand to get rid of the baggage this morning. First, we must understand why we feel it in the first place. Now, the baggage they were dealing with was guilt. Guilt over what they had done to their brother. Guilt over how they had reacted. Guilt over all that the trouble that it caused. Why we feel it? First of all, because of what we done. Look at verse chapter 37. We'll flip through a few verses this morning. Look back at Genesis 37 and verse 18. This is when they first hatched this plan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into a pit. And we will see some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams." As Joseph comes their way, all of this hatred they've been carrying, all of this that's been in them, now formulates a very, very bad plan. Something they never thought they would do. By the way, when you're starting to pick up the baggage, you'll start to see the signs. Hatred. By the way, no Christian can hate another Christian, another person, and love God. If a man say he loved God and hate his brother, he is a liar. Not mistaken, a liar. Your relationship with other people reflects your relationship with God. Hatred starts to come in. Hatred's built up over the course of time. But once it's there, you'll do things you never thought you would have done. Envy. I mean, and I get it. I get it. The dad was wrong. The whole situation was wrong. But they were envious towards their brother. And they let that fester. By the way, remember what caused Saul to want to kill David? When he came back? Said, "Hey, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul says, "Wait a minute. They like David better than me." No, David was his general. But envy. Anger. By the way, if you have anger issues, you need to deal with that. Anger will ruin your life. But sometimes anger comes because we're holding on to these things. And then sometimes companions. They sit there together and all of them were feeling this. And as they saw Joseph coming, it all spilled out. And they all start talking about how much they hate him and how he's all this and all that. And then as a group, it just kind of snowballs. But because of what they did, no matter why they did what they did, they were the ones that have to carry around the consequences, the baggage of their actions. You can blame other people for the things you do. Don't get me wrong. You can do that. You can find a good reason why you do things that aren't right. But let me just tell you something. You're the one carrying the baggage. You're the one. So be very careful. Also, you have to understand, because of who they've hurt, in spite of all that happened, they understood how this affected their father. Look at Genesis chapter 37 and verse 34. Let's go down a few verses. This is after they bring Joseph, and they bring this, they say, "We found his coat. See if this is your son's coat. It has blood all over it." So Jacob assumes that he's been killed. "And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, for he said, 'I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning.' Thus his father wept for him." The reaction they saw from their father, I guarantee you, affected them a lot more than they thought. They thought, "Hey, we got rid of the problem." He wasn't the problem. They were the problem. And they sat there and they watched their dad and they saw how it hurt him. And by the way, you see this because they got the memo. When Joseph told them, "You need to bring Benjamin back," and they left one of the brothers in jail, he says, "We're not going to deal with you anymore." They understood what that meant. They understood that if something happened to Benjamin, it was going to affect their father, and they didn't want to see that happen again. Genesis chapter 44 and verse 30. It says, "Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass that when he seeth it, that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servants will bring down the gray hairs of thy servant of our father with sorrow to the grave." By the way, not if Joseph was the favored son, Benjamin was a favored babied son. And they should have felt towards him the same way they felt towards Joseph, but they saw how it affected their dad, and it changed them. That's probably the worst consequence of our actions. Not what happens to us, but what happens to those that we love the most. You know, we live in this little thing like, what does it matter what I do? I'm the only one that's going to pay for it. That's not the case. It's my life. I can do what I want. Yes, you can. But it is going to affect people that you care about. And you may think you can deal with the consequences of your action, but you're going to hurt for the people that you have hurt. You don't live unto yourself. Listen, if you're married, everything you do affects your spouse. Everything you do. And you have no right to do anything that would hurt them. Well, I'm my own man. She can do her thing. I'll do my thing. Doesn't work that way, cowboy. You married her. Why don't you man up? And why don't you treat her the way she deserves to be treated? And why don't you live in such a way that you're not hurting her? That was free. And you too, ladies. Although it's mostly men, we're knuckleheads. Okay. What about your children? Anybody, by the way, anybody can have children. That's biological. Hey, why don't you be a father? Why don't you be a dad? And it's sad. It used to be the men were the only knuckleheads in our society that did that kind of nonsense. Now it's the ladies. Let's go. I can't imagine, and I'm not making excuse for men, because that's appalling to me that a man would leave his family and not want to have anything to do with his children. I can't comprehend that. But I super can't comprehend a woman doing that. But we don't understand. It affects everything. Because of what we've hid causes us trouble. By the way, that was with them. They thought they hid it. But every little thing that came out, it's like, it was right there. Do you know you can't hide things? Especially if you're a Christian. Let me just explain that to you. If you're a Christian, God's trying to work with you. And you think you can hide things. And by the way, we live in a time when you can hide it. And by the way, hiding is heavy. You got to be a liar too. Someone said if you're lying about something, you have to have a really good memory. Because you got to remember the truth. You got to remember the lie. And you got to remember when to tell the lie and when to tell the truth. I don't have time for that, okay? I'm just going to tell the truth. Makes it so much easier. But we try to hide it. By the way, you can hide behind a lot in the world of technology. That was really silent there. Let's move on quickly. Well, that's just me and my phone. It's corrupting everything about you. Say, if you're struggling with something on your phone, get rid of your phone. Sorry. I've told people before, I'm like, look, you want help? Yes, go get a flip phone tomorrow. Well, I don't want to get a flip phone. You don't want help? Let your spouse see your phone. I'm not a baby. Yeah. I was trying to make friends this morning. It's not working. You sneak around a little wrong relationships, little flirtation. It's going to come out. Okay, let's move on. I'm losing a lot of friends. So what do we have to understand? We have to understand why it happened, but we have to understand how we can forsake it. Look, it's not just enough to identify the baggage. Let's ditch it, okay? We're trying to find out what the problem is so you can get rid of the problem. How can you forsake it? There's several things here. First of all, accept forgiveness. Look at Genesis 45 in verse 3. It all comes out. Everything's there. Could you imagine? Okay. Not only did they find their brother they thought they sold and got rid of, he's like the second in charge of Egypt. And Pharaoh's like, bro, do whatever you want. Could you imagine? Like, he could do whatever he wants, like, you know, go bury him in the backyard. Could you imagine that? But look how Joseph responds. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. That probably was a shock. Doth my father yet live? And this doesn't shock me. And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Yeah, you think? And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he has to tell them again, they're not getting it. I am Joseph, your brother. Then he gives them a little reminder, whom you sold into Egypt. Remember that? Now therefore, here we go, ready? The comfort. Be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me thither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. I don't write my Bible because I used to write them all the time and then they fall apart and you got to start over. But if you do, you could write next to their next level Christianity. I mean, I would have at least thrown them in jail, you know, and maybe made them suffer a little bit. I don't know. Say, you're not a good Christian. Pray for me. Just pray for me, okay? That's next level. Joseph said, you know what? No, I forgive you. And then he took it a step further. He said, God had a reason for doing this. God did this so that I would be in charge of Egypt, that there would be food, and I could take care of you guys. Now, forgiveness is a great thing, but can I just tell you something? You have to accept it. Right. I've heard people say, you know, I don't deserve it. And the answer to that is, you don't. None of us do. But you should accept it. I can never forgive myself. Hey, listen, if God can forgive you, then you can. If someone is willing to forgive you, you can. I like Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they are as wool. God says, it's done. You're forgiven. So you have to do that. Accept forgiveness. Next, avoid repeating it. Look at Genesis chapter 44, verse 33. It says, now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad not be with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come to my father? This is Judah. Judah says, look, take me as a slave. Let my brother go. I don't want to hurt my father. I don't want this to happen. Please, take me in his spot. All he could have, he could have said, oh well, he lost another son, I'm free. But he changed. He said, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to let my dad be hurt again because of this, especially since they saw this event as being their fault. Understand this. Sometimes people will take that baggage and set it down, but they keep it close by. Amen. And they pick it right back up. Amen. Why would you do that? Look, don't just offload it. Chuck it. Right? Like you throw your sins like the depths of the ocean. As far as east is from west. Why did God say our sins are as far as east from the west instead of north to south? Because if you go south, did you know you'll eventually start going north? How many of you knew that? It's a little thing called the world. So if you start at the north, you go south, you're eventually going to turn and go north. But if you go east, you can go east forever. You can go west forever. In fact, some of you should. Just kidding. Strike that. That was pretty mean. Okay. That didn't work. I was like, it's over with. But don't do it again. Why would we get away from something that's been bothering us only to pick it back up again? Don't repeat. Learn your lesson and move on. Next, acknowledge the blessings. Look at Genesis 45 again. Go to verse 16. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, that Joseph's family was there, saying, Joseph's brethren are coming. It pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say not unto thy brethren, this do ye, Say unto thy brethren, this do you, lay your beast and go and get you into the land of Canaan and take your father and your households and come unto me and I will give you the good of the land and ye shall eat the fat of the land. You know what he said? Not only were they forgiven, he said, we got food here. Go get your family. Go get everybody. Come on, we'll give you the best of the land. You can live here and we'll take care of you. Wow. See, sometimes we feel like we're unworthy of God's blessings. By the way, you are. I'm not going to hide it. So am I. But God offers them. That's just how God is. God says, you know what? I've forgiven you. It's here. I want to bless you. Take it. By the way, I think a lot of times that's Satan. He tries to get us to think we don't deserve God's blessing, so we'll keep carrying the baggage. It's a lie. He's a liar. And so I don't know about you. If someone's offering me something good, I'll take it. Okay? And so why don't we see everything that comes with your baggage? Forgiveness, restoration, cleansing, and freedom. I'm glad Paul accepted his forgiveness. By the way, Paul could have carried a lot of baggage. He wasn't just anti-Christian, he killed Christians. He wasn't just anti-Christ, he persecuted Christians. And Paul could have sat down many times and thought about the anguish of those he caused to blaspheme, he saw put to death, and yet he was able to get through that with God's forgiveness. I'm glad Peter didn't. He swore and denied the Lord, but yet 50 days later he preaches at Pentecost and thousands are saved. And I'm glad David didn't. David took somebody's wife, made sure that he died, and he paid for it, but when he got everything restored, I'm glad that he went forward. Amen. Don't crash just because of what you've done. Accept it. Go forward. There's always a better way. And then lastly, we're almost done. Look at this. Abolish relapses. Look at Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. We read that verse of port. They saw that, when they see that their father's dead, they go to Joseph. They're afraid. Verse 16, they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, the trespass of thy brethren in their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants of thy father, of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. He said, hey, you remember what dad said before he died? He said you should forgive us. Joseph already had. But they're reminding him because they're kind of spooked. And Joseph cried because it bothered him. And his brethren also went, fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are thy servants. Joseph didn't want them to be the servants. They were his brothers. See, sometimes we're doing okay. And we think we've got rid of the baggage, but maybe we've kept, you know, we got rid of the luggage, but we kept the handbag. I don't even know what a handbag is. By the way, you go on a trip, learn to pack light, okay? I don't know, going for 3 days. I got two full lugs. Women, you're killing us. You're killing us. Guys, we just wear the same clothes all 6 days, and it is good, all right? We'll leave that one alone. But it's like they held on to something. And as soon as the opportunity came, they were willing to take that big luggage back. Look, be excited that you got rid of it. Be excited that God's doing something in your life and say, I am not going back to that lifestyle. Yep. By the way, you got saved later in life. I got saved a little bit later. I'm like, I ain't going back. Yep. I remember how I felt. I remember all the nonsense. I remember all the drama. Done with it. Yeah. Now, that's by God's grace, not because I'm anything wonderful, but I'm like, I don't want that. I like over here. I like what's going on now. I don't want to go back to that. There's far too many Christians I've seen over the years. Things have gotten better. Things have done well. And for whatever reason, they choose to go back. Why? Why? It's better over here. Yes, sir. Amen. Now, are you carrying any luggage this morning? A lot of people we're like that elk. We pick that bad boy up and we're carrying it. Running from the people trying to help us. They had to literally tranquilize him. Let's not carry it all those years. And by the way, when you're carrying baggage, it gets heavier. Yeah. The longer you carry it, the heavier it gets and the worse everything gets. Why don't you put it down this morning? Maybe it's not guilt, But maybe there are some things in your life you don't feel worthy of serving the Lord. If you're saved, you're worthy to serve the Lord. Amen. He calls us saints. Amen. I'm like, his terminology, not ours. Because that's our position in Christ. Let's accept it. I'm going to accept that. Why don't you? There's something better. What is it you're hanging on to? What is it that's always there that you need to get rid of? You need to chuck it and go forward. Let's bow our head and close our eyes this morning if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. The problem with us, we carry things that we were never designed to carry, right? Doesn't the Bible tell us, casting all your care upon him, your worries, your burdens? Why? For he careth for you. What are you carrying this morning? You know what it is. What is that thing that you're not getting over? What is that thing that discourages you, that holds you back, that's pulling you down every time you start to go forward? It's time to get rid of it. Maybe you need to get some forgiveness. Maybe you need to go to somebody. If you're worried about something with somebody else, just go to them. You say, I don't think they're going to respond correctly. As long as you do your part and you're open to it, don't carry that burden. In a Christian setting, in a church setting, Satan will always try to bring things, and it's a little thing here or a little thing there, and instead of getting it right, you hang on to it, and it gets worse, and it turns to bitterness, and we backslide, and we get away from God, and we blame others, but we're the ones that get hurt. We're the ones that suffer. Don't do that. Don't do that today. Maybe here this morning, and the greatest burden you can carry is the burden of sin. And its eternal consequence. You don't have to carry that. Jesus Christ came to this earth. We celebrate Christmas, but he didn't come just to be born. He came to die. He came to die for our sins so that we can get forgiven and we can go to heaven when we die. He died for your sins. Don't carry that burden. If you don't have your sins forgiven, someday you'll eternally have to pay for it. Don't do that. He already paid for it. That's a burden you don't need to carry. If you're here this morning, you would say, Pastor, I am not 100% for sure that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Pastor, would you pray for me with nobody looking around? If you just shoot your hand up real quick and put it down, I'll pray for you. Anybody like that at all? Don't carry that burden. If we may this morning, could you please stand with me? Let's all stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. The piano's going to play. If something's bothering you, if you know that thing you've been carrying, it could be small now, but it'll be heavy later. Don't fall under that weight. The piano's going to play. If God spoke to you, why don't you come? Why don't you come?